Welcome to the January 24th edition of the First EPC Sermon Podcast. When we read the stories of Jesus' disciples, we sometimes see them as giants of the faith. The danger in elevating them in such a way is that it makes it seem even more impossible for us to measure up. The fact is that they were just regular guys, not that different from us. Pastor Jonathan is away at seminary this week, and filling in for him is Mark Laster. Mark is a middle school principal and an elder at First EPC. Today he brings a message titled, Ordinary People with an Extraordinary Message. Our text for today is Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. Here's Mark.
I'll start by just telling a quick story before we get into the scripture for today. A few months back, after one of the Sundays that I was leading the praise band, an elder, Mr. Harris, told me what a good job I had done. And so I thanked him, but my reply is I said, you know, I still get nervous every time I lead the praise band. I've done this, you know, hundreds of times, but I still get nervous. And I made the comment, I said, you know, I'd really be more comfortable preaching. I should have just said thanks and kept my mouth shut, right? Because lo and behold, look who's preaching today. Our scripture today comes from Matthew chapter 10. And before we get into it, I want to just tell you briefly kind of how I landed on this scripture. Jonathan asked me to preach today several weeks ago. And I asked him if I could pray about it. And if I'm being honest, I probably was just trying to buy time to think of an excuse not to. And I prayed about it. I was out one morning for a run, and I just said, God, please show me yes or no, and if the answer is yes, please make it clear what I'm supposed to talk about. And so a couple days later, I felt, you know, I really felt, yes, I need to do this. You know, it's not something I've never done before, but it's been a while. And so I called Jonathan. I said, sure, I'll preach. I think I should. I said, do you have anything in particular you think I should talk about? Any particular scripture, you know, you want me to focus on? And he just said, hey, no pressure, man. Maybe just dust off an old sermon. So I thought, okay, I can do that. So a couple Sundays ago, I was looking through some old sermon notes. One kind of grabbed my attention, so I turned in my Bible to what I thought was the scripture passage, and I began reading. And a few minutes later, I realized it was not the passage that was connected to that sermon. So I started to turn into my Bible to the correct scripture, and I instantly remembered my prayer that morning. Actually, John and Joyce, I was just about in front of your house when I prayed that prayer, but I remembered that prayer and asking God, you know, if you want me to speak, show me clearly what you want me to speak on. And so instead of turning to the correct passage, I spent a few more minutes in that text. And the result being now today, this is a new sermon. It's not an old one. So just keep that in the back of your mind as we open up God's word and prepare to hear from him. Before we do, you can go ahead and if you want, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 16, but we're really going to kind of hone in, focus on verses 5 through 8. But before we do that, let's ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word. Heavenly Father, as we open your word today, Lord, I just pray that you would set aside any worries, any distractions, anything from this week, Lord, that might stand in our way of hearing you and seeing you and leaving here today with changed hearts, Lord. And we ask all this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. So again, we're in Matthew chapter 10. We'll read verses 1 through 16, but again, we'll focus just mainly on verses 5 through 8. Jesus sends out the 12. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon, the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Matthew 10 is simply Jesus sending out of the 12 disciples. Or in other words, their initial commission. The disciples' commission: go to the lost sheep of Israel, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. And then freely you have received, freely give. While I was still teaching, and I'll apologize, you know, I use the word preaching loosely when I preach, because it's more of stories, as I shared with the elders earlier, it's more stories of how has Mark messed things up and God made them right. And so while I was still teaching, before I became a school administrator, I spent a little over 10 years as a youth pastor. And so I have used this text in previous sermons. But in those days, I have to admit, I would have preached this differently, but not necessarily better. I'll confess, back in that time, I carried a pretty heavy club, and I often played on guilt, fear, emotions. And yet we did see, during that time, Andy and I saw God do a lot of good things in spite of me. We saw him work in a lot of young people's lives. But looking back, I also see that I alienated a lot of people along the way. So, thanks to God's great grace, a great wife, a great son, and a lot of really great people in this church, God's been changing that in me over the last several years. And I can't, it's been since we've been here at EPC. I don't know how long we've been here. But in light of that, I want to look at this text through fresh eyes this morning. You see, in the past, when I heard preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, my response was quick. Pick up the club, pick up the sword, storm the gates of hell and trample anything or anybody who gets in the way. And yes, sometimes that may be necessary. But it's not the only way. If it was the only way, that's all we would have seen from Jesus. If God wanted to save the world in this manner, that's how he would have done it. In God's plan to spread the gospel and save mankind, I think maybe the question we should ask ourselves is this. When we think about salvation and how God planned to go about making that available to mankind, we should ask ourselves the question, Why did he, God, choose to become a man? And you don't have to turn to this, but you can just listen. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 says this. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That in itself is a whole other sermon. But again, the question, why become a man? Why did God choose to become a man? Why? I think simply because God knew his plan. His plan was to save mankind through other men, his disciples, ordinary, everyday people like me and you, like us. Without doubt, Jesus was no ordinary man, so please don't misunderstand that. He was no ordinary man. He was God. But he chose to be made in human likeness and be found in appearance as a man. I mean, if you look at the last week of Jesus' life. I used to read a lot of Max Lucado books. Anybody read any Max Lucado? I read one many, many years ago, and I can't remember the title, but it stuck with me because it focused almost entirely on Jesus' last week on earth. And you know, he pointed out throughout the book to the casual observer, it was just another week. Moms were dressing kids. They were cleaning house. Dads were getting up, going to work. Nature was in order. The sun rose and set. The clouds drifted through the sky. That week, Jesus only performed two miracles. He withered a fig tree to prove a point to some stubborn disciples. And he healed the ear of a Roman soldier that one of his disciples had chopped off. Now, I'm going to ask you, bear with me with this, because I'm going to have a little fun with this. But, you know, if we could ask questions of Jesus concerning the last week of his life, why not show off your power in your last week on earth? Turn out a few thousand loaves, a few hundred healings. He could have done it. Turn a few Pharisees into snakes or slugs. Why not? When the crowd shouted, "Crucify him," why not make him bark like dogs instead? Why ride a donkey? You know, why not ride in a tricked out carriage behind a big white stallion? You know, had that been me, fortunately it wasn't, but it might have been a little different. Raise your hand if you've seen the movie Shrek. You know where this is going. My donkey would have been a talking donkey with the voice of Eddie Murphy. "Hey, fool, out of my way. Don't you know this is the Son of God riding on my back?" And I'm having some fun with this, but in all seriousness, there is a serious point here. God could have done any of this he wanted to, but he knew his plan. His plan to save mankind through ordinary, everyday people, just like us. Look at those he chose, fishermen and tax collectors. He could have chosen the religious leaders, the politicians, the higher-ups in society, but he didn't. He chose ordinary, everyday people. I have been very guilty of this in the past, and I think sometimes we probably all are. I think sometimes we spend too much time looking for that great, mighty, miraculous movement of God or the next great church program or event. And we miss multiple opportunities in our everyday life to share this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. As disciples and followers of Christ, life presents us opportunity upon opportunity every day to share God's message of love and salvation, to heal those who are hurting, to confront evil or drive out demons, to share the love of Christ with those around us. No matter your age, your profession, your education, your economic standing, your personality, whether you're outgoing or shy, God's desire is to use us all to share His love with a sick, lost, evil, and hurting world. Now, please hear me though. I don't say this out of a sense, in the past I would have, but I don't say this out of a sense of guilt or fear. I don't mean it in the sense that we have to walk around every day afraid or paranoid that we're going to miss an opportunity to do what God wants us to do. I don't think God wants that. I think He just wants our availability. That if an opportunity for ministry or a simple act of kindness grabs our attention, that we act on it. Wherever we're at. Doesn't have to be at church or some event or part of some program. Just whoever we randomly bump into on our random given day. When the Lord sent out the 12, He sent them first to their own people, the lost sheep of Israel. What does that mean for us? What I think that means for me is that our mission field is wherever we are in life right now. Every day, I enter a little mission field called Anna Junior High. On the good days, I realize this, and whether it's something big like confronting an abusive parent, or something as simple as looking for that child that's sitting alone and having lunch with them in the cafeteria. It's also a great excuse to eat Jamie's awesome food, but those are the good days. On the bad days, and let me tell you, there are a few, on the bad days, it's not pretty. Lots of wasted time, whining, feeling sorry for myself. I'll tell you a quick story. Just this past Friday, I had an all-day meeting coming up, and I was not looking forward to it. Nandi's starting to laugh because she knows this. I was not looking forward to it. Mrs. Boyd, she knows I wasn't either. Keeping in mind the weather this week, you know what I was thinking when I went to bed Thursday night. Snow day, please. And when it didn't happen Friday morning, when I didn't get that call from Mr. Goforth that school was canceled, it was ugly. Foul would not even begin to touch my attitude. And thankfully, before I got out the door and ruined a bunch of other people's day, Andy set me down on the couch and said, "I want to pray for you." She prayed for me, and then she said, "You know," and keep in mind, this is coming from the queen of snow days. There's nobody who loves a snow day more than Andy. She prayed, and then she said, "You know," she said, I think we're supposed to have school today. She said, "Because, you know, think of all of those kids that the safest place, the warmest place for them to be, the only place where they're going to get two hot meals is school." And you talk about a knife to the heart. But it was good. I needed to hear it. My point is simple. We all enter our own mission field every day. At work, at home, in the doctor's office, at the grocery store, wherever your day may take you. Whether you're a preacher, a teacher, a carpenter, a banker, a lawyer, a secretary, a homemaker, or retired, whatever, we all have a mission field. And you see, God's not looking for heroes or all-stars. He's looking for simple, ordinary, available people to deliver an extraordinary message. He says, "Go to the lost sheep of Israel, your friends, family, neighbors, co-workers. Preach this message. the kingdom of heaven is near. In other words, share the love of Christ. You don't have to preach a sermon. You don't have to know all the points of salvation. It might just be telling them about how good God has been to you. Okay? Doesn't have to be anything miraculous or spectacular. Heal the sick. Doesn't have to be a miracle. It can be a simple act of kindness. And I want to share a few stories here. Thank you, Mr. Warren. Thank you. Perfect example. An act of kindness. I'll share a few stories here. When we think of healing the sick, you know, a lot of times we often think of, you know, we're laying hands on somebody, we're praying some awesome prayer. It doesn't have to look like that. I'll tell you, probably 9 out of 10 days when I lead the praise band, you can almost count on I'm going to have some kind of sinus or throat issue. Right, Brad? And God will always work me through it, but when I walk back there and sit down, I start to cough. And I can count on almost every time this kind gentleman in front of me, Mr. Burnett, he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out a mint or a piece of candy and he hands it back to me. Now he's not thinking, oh, I've got to heal Mark. He's just being kind. But to me, that's a healing. Okay? Another example. I can't tell you how many Sundays I've come and just been heart sick and heartbroken from a week at school. DCFS, attorneys, police, politicians, whatnot. And I come and I'm just beat down and tired and heart sick. And Miss Barb has stopped me in the hallway and bragged on my son or just told me how thankful she is for the work that I do at school. Instant healing. Instant. Better, ready to go for another week. One more example, and I, Don and Miss Barb, I apologize, but I saved the best for last, and I think you'll understand. Just maybe 2 weeks ago, I'd had one of those bad days, and I was dealing with a family. I won't go into detail, but a family with several children and just a very bad circumstance, and tried for multiple days to get a hold of them by phone, sent notes home, no response. So Mr. Goforth and I, we went on a home visit that day. Don't do that very often, probably should, but we went on a home visit, and what I saw just ripped my heart out. The situation that these kids were in, and I realized that those weren't the only kids under our care in that situation. And I was heart sick, heart broke. I ended the day, I'm sitting in my office with my head in my hands and just saying, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do it anymore. And in bounces this little long curly haired first grader with a note in her hand. I brought it with me. You can't see it from here, but I'll read it to you. She didn't say a word. She just bounced in, smiling, handed me this note, and it says, I think you are so kind. Love, Zoe. And it has a big heart on it. Instant heart healing. Okay? She didn't know she was coming in to heal Mr. Laster. She didn't know that God was gonna serve some purpose in God's kingdom, but by golly, it did. And we all have those opportunities every day, no matter where we are. When he says raise the dead, again, we think, you know, okay, we think of Lazarus, you know, and some huge miracle. But folks, there are spiritually and emotionally dead people all around us every day. They've been beat down by life. And I'm telling you, a kind word an encouraging note, a little extra on their tip at the restaurant, or just a big old hug goes a long way toward raising the dead or healing the sick. Drive out demons. Again, that doesn't mean we have to lay hands on someone and say some fiery prayer. Now, that happens. I know it does. But it's probably not going to happen to many of us. I think it could just mean when you see evil, and if your eyes are open in the world today, you will see evil. When you see it, confront it. Stand against it. Whatever it might be. And again, if you think there's not evil in this world, even in Anna, come follow me for a day. It's out there, and when we see it, we need to confront it. Now, I'm not saying we have to go out, you know, in the past. My take on that would be, okay, let's go find it and get it, you know. But I'm not saying that's what we don't have to be out looking for a fight or looking to pick a fight. But when evil presents us, wherever we're at, in that day and time, we stand against it. The bottom line is this. Every day, God is all around us. And we all have multiple opportunities to act as His disciples. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord, and we thank You, first of all, Lord, for the great example that You provided for us in Your Son, Jesus. The fact that He chose to become a man and live among us and model for us how to advance Your kingdom is just an incredible thing, Lord. So we pray, Lord, that as we leave here today, that You might just make us aware as we go throughout our day today and in any other day of opportunities that we could just share a kind word or touch someone's life in a small way, Lord, that may turn into something big in the end. We may never know, Lord, but we trust You and ask You to do that in our lives and our hearts, Lord. Thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for Your compassion. Lord, thank You for, again, for salvation that comes through Your Son, Jesus. And we ask all this in His name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word. Tune in again next week for another sermon from the pulpit of First EPC in Anna, Illinois. Be sure and visit us on the web at www.firstepc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/firstepc. Thanks for listening. This has been a production of First Evangelical Presbyterian Church of Anna, Illinois. Until next time, may God bless.